It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Good evening and welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. So many horrible things going on in the news. Nevertheless, I hope you are having a good Christmas season. So Merry Christmas. And what could be merrier than Barrier? Say hello to Jim Barrier.
That's pretty good. You have an excellent gift for rhyme.
Yes. That was a burst of inspiration that came upon me moments before the show.
That's okay. And you know I love Christmas almost as much as you do, maybe as much, but it is my favorite time. I want to say this, Happy Hanukkah. I know...
Not a real Happy Hanukkah for the people of Australia.
Well, and you know about the Brown University.
And Brown University, and then we had a couple of service members shot in Syria.
Yeah. These are specific attacks that are anti-Semitic in their nature.
Well, we don't know yet. Do we know yet about... We don't know anything about the identity of the brown guy. They said he shouted something, and they wouldn't say what it was, unless there's something new in the news that I have not yet heard.
Yeah. Well, I had to scour, because the mainstream media doesn't always report things with accuracy, as you know.
Exactly.
But
if he was a Trump supporter, we hear about that 24/7 and immediately. But if he was a Muslim or a transvestite, that'd be different.
Well, what we know, he specifically entered a class by Professor Rachel Freeberg, who teaches Judaic studies.
Oh, there we go. And I'll give you three guesses as to what he shouted. They said he shouted something. It was either Allah Akbar or Free Palestine! Free Palestine! Yeah. I'm guessing it was one of those two.
Yeah. I'm guessing that too, but that is not being wrong.
I mean, I could be wrong. Yeah. He might have just shouted, I hate Jews, or go
or something.
Stop being imperialist colonists.
Yeah, it was certainly specifically targeting this woman, because most reports say that it happened in a wing where science classes take place, but it does not say that the professor who teaches Judaic studies, that's what gets left out.
Well, you know, the narrative that we've been hearing for the last couple of years is, hey, I can be anti-Israel without being anti-Semitic. And I get this question a lot. Can I disagree with Israel's policies and still not be an anti-Semite? Well, here's one of those things where there's the technical answer and what's really going on. On paper, certainly, you can disagree with policies of any country without it being a racial thing. But that's not the way it ever plays out with Israel. Because notice that in the name of protesting Israel, they're killing Jews in Australia. Those are Australian citizens. Yeah. There are a lot of Jews around the world that don't even care about Israel, that don't even support. There are Jews that are liberal who don't even believe in Israel. And even if they did, they're killing Jews. There was this call for a global intifada. And then there's this idea that it's an apartheid country. The only reason they call it an apartheid country is that they were set up to be a Jewish state. You don't have to be Jewish to be a citizen there. There's Arab citizens, Muslim citizens, Christian citizens, but they were set up to be a Jewish state, and people act like that's the most racist thing in the world. How many Arab states, Jim, do we have in the Middle East that declare themselves Arab and Muslim? Yeah. Nobody says a word. But we have one Jewish state, and that's a problem. So pardon me if I don't really believe it's true that you can be anti-Israel without being an anti-Semite. Besides, an anti-Semite is not just somebody who hates Jews. An anti-Semite, by technical definition, is somebody who believes stupid things about Israel or about Jews and is therefore prejudiced. So when they're calling the Israelis occupiers today, that's a lie. Just like it was a lie when they were calling them communists under the Nazis and saying that they had conspiracies under the Middle Ages and were responsible for the Black. So believing a lie, that's also part of anti-Semitism. And there's nothing but lies believed about Israel. I just had to get that off my chest.
I
watch the news and I just want to throw something, especially when I hear idiots talk.
Yeah. It's a tough way to start the show, but it needed to be addressed.
It's a big elephant in the room. Yeah.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question now as we move on. How would you rate 2025 and the current presidency and the administration? How would you rate Trump's first year and his second term.
Okay, as somebody who once on this radio show many years ago was on record of not liking him and I couldn't stand him and I voted for him in 2016 just because he was an alternative to Hillary, I absolutely love this guy. There's things I at times wish he hadn't said. There's things I at times wish he wouldn't tweet. But I love this guy. I think if Western civilization survives, he'll go down in history as the greatest president we ever had. I love that he's not a politician. And that works both ways, because since he's not a politician and he's not going to kiss up to people and his handlers can't rein him in, he's going to say things we wish he wouldn't say. But most of the time, he just says things that everybody else is thinking and he has the guts to say it. I find him very refreshing. I give him an A+. I'm just concerned about the midterms, because if the Democrats take over Congress again, he'll have to have all the oxygen sucked out of the room because they'll impeach him again. It won't get through the Senate. Not if Republicans keep the Senate. But we lose the House, and it's very common to lose the House, the opposite party that has the White House during midterms. That's why we have got to wake up. There are so many people who don't like the Republican Party, and I don't blame them, but they love Donald Trump, but they don't understand that during the midterms, if they don't vote to keep Republicans in, they're really voting against Trump. And that's a connecting of the dots that a lot of people just have not made.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So, well, I agree with you.
How do you rate him?
He's done a great job. I think he's done a great job, and I hope he gets 3 more years of doing a great job.
I would give him 8 more years if he could change that amendment to our Constitution. I'd give him a third term. He ran 3 times and won 3 times anyway. We might as well let him reign 3 times.
Well,
by the way, did you hear that? Did you hear that he says he's coming out with evidence that they really won in 2020?
Well, I think there is, whether or not he can get it through all the bureaucracy and the judges and the people.
I've been saying this now that all these shoes have dropped about the fact that Biden wasn't legitimately serving as president. The next shoe to drop is that he wasn't legitimately elected as president. And I think there's tons of evidence. And, you know, I'm on record as saying the 2020 election was rigged. Having said that, I think Trump's time would be better served if he didn't use up a lot of energy on that one. I'd rather just see him focus on the economy and making people's lives better. Yeah. All it's going to do is create this huge, huge detour for him. And I don't really think we need that. I want to see it come out, but I don't want to see him personally expend his effort. Let other people find it. Yeah. Let some investigative reporters break the story.
Absolutely.
But there is a story to be broken. It's not that I won't believe it. It's just that I don't know that he's really doing himself any favors by focusing on it.
Yeah, move forward. There's nothing we can do. What are they going to do? They haven't charged anybody of any crimes, you know.
Well, if it helps to keep future elections from being fraudulent, then it will be worth it. But I don't know what it's going to do for his political career.
Well, there's already things that have happened, reactions. They are doing a better job of monitoring elections and trying to keep them legal, clean, fair, you know, all of that. And so that can happen. But
not in California.
Well, I used to think Texas was a different country. Now I think California is a different country. But
you know, we've bantered about Texas and California for a long time. There's one person, one person at least, that we don't have to claim in California, and that's Jasmine Crockett. Jasmine Crock-O-Bull, I should say.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Well, we will do another show about California. We've talked about that. But anyway, let's see if we can move on now. Page 3. We do this every year. I do my final show of the year with you. We talk about people that we have said goodbye to in 2025, celebrities, famous people and such. So I'd like to do a little bit of that. Actually, a lot.
I just have a list of Democrats that I'd like to say goodbye to, but they'll never leave.
Bob. I'm with you. Here's something that we really did. I'm going to start with people in the church world. And certainly the biggest story of the year was Charlie Kirk's assassination. And that did shake things up. I don't think that it shook things up hard enough, because there hasn't been real lasting, powerful change as a result. And initially, the first couple of weeks, there's a whole lot of stuff going on, but I think people tend to hit the snooze button.
Well, Turning Point's membership has gone up. That at least changed. There's many new chapters of Turning Point.
Yeah. And that's a good thing. I'm going to mention another aspect of Turning Point later on in the show. Another big loss for me, and this is more of a personal thing, Chuck Girard, musician, started the band Love Song when the Jesus Movement started growing. They're Calvary Chapel. There's a film out about him right now about Love Song. And the Jesus Revolution movie alluded to Chuck and Love Song. They were in there. And he was certainly a pioneer in Christian music. And he was a friend of mine. And it was a sad thing to see him go. And then we had, this is another one that's kind of mixed. Jimmy Swaggart passed on.
Oh, I had not heard that.
Yeah. You know, he had...
Oh, his life crashed and burned a long time ago, unfortunately.
Yeah. But he did get his life back together.
Yeah, and we've got to allow for somebody to repent and change, and we've got to show forgiveness.
Yeah. So Jimmy is with the Lord now. Now, I'm not sure where this guy is, but Pope Francis passed away. I am not anti-Catholic, but I don't subscribe to much of the Church of Rome's doctrine and policy, but Pope Francis passed away.
Well, I hope he turned from some things, because otherwise the Jesus he meets in heaven is going to be very different than the one he was describing to us here on earth.
Most likely. He's already probably had some revelation about some things. Another fellow, now you might know this name, Bill McCartney. He was the head coach of the Colorado Golden Buffaloes football team, but more important than that, he was the founder of Promise Keepers.
Oh, yeah. I haven't heard the name Promise Keepers in a long time, but that was a huge movement for a while.
It was a great movement, and Bill McCartney, who was the founder, passed away this year. And then here's another one. I better be careful. I'll just say, John MacArthur, famous pastor, author, and absolute extreme Calvinist.
An extreme dispensationalist, but I don't have to agree with somebody's theology to know that they love God and were serving God and doing great things. Okay, on that note, Jim, we'll talk about more people who passed away. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear voices singing, let's be jolly, deck the halls with bottles of party, rocking around the Christmas tree, have a happy holiday. Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Always honored to end the year And when I say end the year, I mean this is my last live show of the year. I will be back with a brand spanking new show the first Sunday of January. The Bob Siegel Show will be playing the next 2 weeks. We have several Christmas repeats specials. I have so many of them now, I have to decide which one to play, but I will play a couple of them for the next couple of weeks, and then I will be back with you live. But for our last live show of the year, say hello again to Jim Barrier.
And it occurs to me, I think I'm on schedule to be with you on your first live show in January.
Well, that would be just fitting. That would get 2026 off to a great start.
And I will be in the studio.
You're going to be in the studio,
which is
yes.
Even more fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's going to be great. So, some more losses this past year. In the world of politics, a couple of names. Former Vice President Dick Cheney passed away. He was Bush's vice president, and you remember him.
And we can be sad about that, even though his daughter's a piece of work. Yeah. We can still be sad Dick Cheney was a decent fellow.
Bill Moyers, who was the White House press secretary under LBJ, and then later on, quite a career as a journalist, Bill Moyers passed away. And now here's a name from the past. You might remember this. H. Rapp Brown. Remember him?
That one is not ringing a bell. What was he known for? Maybe I'll remember.
He was the leader of the Black Panthers.
Oh, well.
In the 60s.
Everybody's heard of the Black Panthers, but I was not connecting that name.
That's who he was. Okay. That's just a few names out of the world of politics. I would like to move on now to the world of sports, because you know I love sports.
And you accidentally got one of your predictions right last year, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I was supposed to save that for when I make my prediction.
Okay.
But you're right. I did. I got one right. Not a great batting average in those predictions.
I won't use the give the monkey a typewriter. Sooner or later, he types a word analogy. But go ahead, Jim.
Now, beginning with some of San Diego favorites, local sports figures, Randy Jones, the first Padre pitcher to win a Cy Young Award, great, great pitcher, great citizen in San Diego. He was a real fan favorite. He had a hot dog stand there for the longest time. I don't know if they still have Randy Jones dogs, but he was a great pitcher, passed away this year. Another name, Sandy Alomar Sr. Now, he had two sons that also played baseball. Sandy Alomar Jr., who was a great catcher, and Robbie Alomar, who was an all-star second baseman. And for one season, all three of them, father and two sons, were with the Padres, and that was quite a thing. Some Padre favorites, San Diego favorites, Woodrow Lowe. Now, this is going way, way back, but he was a Chargers linebacker. And he was a great one. He was an all-pro, great football player with the San Diego Chargers, not the Los Angeles Chargers. And then one of my favorite sports people of all time, Bob Uecker. Just a bit outside. Famous. He was a baseball player, but his career was famous for making fun of himself. He used to go on Johnny Carson all the time, and he was a pretty average, if not mediocre, baseball player. But he had a career, and then he went into announcing, and then he was going on TV shows, and he was in the movies. Bob Uecker, great, great sports figure, great ambassador for baseball. We'll miss him. Now, here's one. I'm just doing this as self-indulgent now in the sports thing, but one of the great trivia questions that I like to ask people, and I'll just tell you, is Davey Johnson, baseball player and then manager. And this is the great trivia note for Davey Johnson. He was on deck in the Japanese League playing baseball in Japan when Sadaharu Oh hit his 715th home run, breaking Babe Ruth's record. He was second on deck, meaning he was two batters behind Hank Aaron when he hit his 715th home run, breaking Babe Ruth's record. That's pretty incredible. So that Davey Johnson, got to see greatness up close and personal. Another one of my favorite sports people, George Foreman. George Foreman, the great heavyweight boxer.
Now, that's not the same as the George Foreman grill, is it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Oh, so
he quit boxing.
He made his own grill.
He's an entrepreneur. Yeah, he had the George Foreman grill. And he did, out here in Texas, he was from Houston. He used to do a lot of public service announcements and stuff. But they have a slogan on here, don't mess with Texas, meaning don't litter the highways. And he'd look into the camera with that George Foreman glare and shake his fist and say, don't mess with Texas. He's a great one. And he became a Christian and opened up a youth center down in Houston and did a great work, had a great ministry down there in the roughest part of Houston. I love George Foreman. Lenny Wilkins, NBA coach, the third most wins in NBA history for a head coach. He also coached the United States Olympic team in 1996. Dave Parker, right fielder for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Great, great ball player. And then a couple, maybe not so popular with me, but we're going to mention him. Babe Vincent, who was the commissioner of baseball for a brief time. And he's the one that started the war with Pete Rose. He's the one that banned him from baseball. And then every commissioner since then had to kind of follow suit and uphold that banishment. And now they have finally reinstated Pete Rose now that he's dead. And so he will probably go into the Hall of Fame at some point now. Paul Tagliabue, NFL commissioner. And then my final sports character here, and this, I just love this guy, Hulk Hogan. Sadly, for all you Hulksters out there, Hulk Hogan passed away. I didn't really watch a lot of wrestling, and I didn't become aware of him until he started one of the Rocky films, and he played Underlips McGraw.
Well, he sure came through for Trump at the convention last year, didn't he?
Well, I don't know. I didn't know what his political persuasion was.
Oh, he came out and really supported Donald Trump.
Well, there you go. Another reason I love the Hulk. So Hulk Hogan is gone, along with all these other great sports figures. I'm sure there were more, but I just kind of picked on people that I liked, or at least were significant in my career as a fan. Now, we're probably getting close to a break time here. I don't know. We can move on into the acting world, Hollywood and TV. So stop me when it's time. The top of the list here is Gene Hackman.
He was one of my absolute favorites, Gene Hackman.
Oh, I love Gene Hackman. I met him one time. You know, he took up auto racing like a lot of actors have.
I didn't know you met him. Oh, how cool.
Yeah, at Riverside Raceway, I had pit passes, and he was there. He's almost, almost as beautiful in person as he is on the screen.
He was great at playing those characters that if he was a bad guy, he was a likable bad guy. If he was a good guy, he was still kind of edgy. His part in Mississippi Burning can't be topped. That was his best performance.
Oh, he was tremendous. And he did win 2 Oscars. Here's something people might not know. Before he was famous, he had 2 roommates. One was a man named Dustin Hoffman. The other was a man named Robert Duvall. Can you imagine those 3 guys?
Yeah, wouldn't you have loved to have been a fly on that wall? I had heard that. I had forgotten that, though. That's a good reminder.
The drama teacher at the school year told said that none of them had any talent. Wow.
Well, that just shows what these teachers know.
So Gene has moved on. And then one of my all-time favorite, Robert Redford, favorite as an actor, maybe not as far as the world of politics.
But he was a good director, too. Did you ever see his first directorial debut, a very serious movie, Ordinary People, with Mary Tyler Moore, Donald Sutherland?
Yeah.
It was one of the few times that the movie that won Best Picture of the Year absolutely deserved. Didn't care for his liberal politics, but he was a phenomenal director. And who doesn't love Butch Cassidy and The Sundance Kid and The Sting, 2 classic movies?
That's one of my all-time favorites. And that really was what skyrocketed his career. And then the worst Oscar snub in the history of the Academy, Val Kilmer, who didn't even get nominated for his role as Doc Holliday in Tombstone.
Yeah, and he was. I've mentioned this before. There were 3 movies I saw that had Val Kilmer in it, and that was before I even knew his name as an actor. And when I found out that the same person had played all 3 roles, I would have sworn those were 3 different actors just because his acting. Yeah. One of them was The Doors.
Yeah.
He played the part of Jim Morrison in The Doors. The other one was Tombstone, and the other was the adversary in Top Gun. I had no idea that was the same actor because all 3 of those parts were just totally different. And that's acting. You were mentioning Robert Duvall and Dustin Hoffman. They are also chameleon actors. Every movie they're in, there's someone different. Gene Hackman's more or less the same guy in every movie, but I love the guy that he plays in every movie, so I'm still a big fan. Yeah. But as far as versatility goes, Robert Duvall, Hoffman, and definitely Val Kilmer, phenomenal actor.
Yeah, he was so versatile. Sad to see him go.
Okay, Jim, hold that thought. We'll do more when we get back. You're listening to The Bob Segal Show.
This is Bob Siegel. With the wiring in your home, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. For all you know, he may have gotten his license by sending in 3 serial box tops.
Hey, these things happen. There's nothing wrong with my wiring. Houses burned down. You wanted a guarantee? You should have ordered the deluxe package.
Folks, play it smart. Call WNS Electric Incorporated. They specialize in contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, WNS takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I use them myself, and I wouldn't call anyone else. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for WNS Electric, license number 480539. WNS Electric.
Is it really true that there will be peace in the Middle East if we just have a two-state solution? Or are some people instead challenging Israel's right to exist at all? Is it true that Jews have no historical claim to the Holy Land and stole that land from a people called the Palestinians? Bob Siegel's latest book challenges the historical revision of the Israeli-Palestinian situation and shows how Israel's struggle may soon be the struggle of the entire world. The Holocaust Against Israel by Bob Siegel, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, the program that always has a show within a show. That's right, it's time for another episode of Stump Jim Barrier.
Jim, how are you doing today?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm doing great, man.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I'm looking forward to this.
I'm looking forward to it, too. I think I got you on this one. So remember when I say I need to find some obscure 60s songs for you?
Yeah.
I got one. I think I got you on this one here. So without any further ado, are you ready, sir?
Sure.
All right. Here is your song for Stump Jim Barrier.
The news had come out in the First World War.
Oh, even I know that one.
Oh, okay.
It may be obscure now, but it sure wasn't in its day. But go ahead, Jim.
And this is a sequel song, I believe.
That's correct.
Well, then I wouldn't have gotten it. I thought it was the original.
It was Snoopy versus the Red Baron, but this is, I think, Snoopy versus Santa Claus. And let's see now. Who were those guys? The four...
Yeah. This, I thought it was Snoopy versus the Red Baron. All right. Shows what I know.
It was their Christmas sequel, I'm pretty sure.
It is.
Okay.
No idea on the band?
I'm trying to remember the name of the band.
The original one was a huge smash hit. I remember that.
Yeah, it was the Four Somebody...
I gotta say, you're not even close. It is the Royal Guardsmen.
You should see the look of satisfaction on Brendan's face. The jubilant. You made his Christmas come just a little bit earlier this year.
Yeah, there we go.
You just made my whole year just came crashing down.
Sorry to hear that, Jeff. Now, okay, so if I could be fair here.
But you know what? He knew immediately that it was the sequel, and he knew what the song was.
Yeah, I'll give you
I
that.
I just couldn't think of the name of the band, the Royal Guardsmen, because they were kind of a one-and-a-half.
Yeah, I thought it was Snoopy versus the Red Baron, because it sure sounds the same at the beginning.
It is the exact same.
Yeah. But they made Christmas lyrics. Okay, so what do you got? What are you going to say?
Okay, so two things to note. This was only a hit in New Zealand in Australia, going all the way to number one all the way over there. Meanwhile, it only reached number 39 in Canada. This is the best selling song in New Zealand history.
What is it about New Zealand and Australia? Things that flop here are always big hits in New Zealand and Australia.
Now, there have been commentators that said this is the worst Christmas song of all time because...
No. That's Barbara Streisand singing Jingle Bells. You're not going to get worse than that.
Well, it's Snoopy shooting down Santa Claus from the sky.
I'd rather see Snoopy shoot Santa Claus and listen to Babs sing Jingle Bells.
We'll put that in the record books, Bob Streisand. But that's my only thing there.
Have you ever had reindeer jerky? So, you know. sorry.
Is there actually a song called Reindeer Jerky?
No, but if you shot, you know, if you shot.
Well, you know what? That sounds like a good idea for a new Christmas song. We may be onto something. If we can do Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer, we could sure do Reindeer Jerky.
Which, for me, that was a much worse song. I did not like that song. I wasn't even a big fan of Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas.
Oh, Brendan's with you on that one. But yeah. Brendan and I still like the Barking Dog with Jingle Bells, and I know you don't like that one, Jim.
Sorry, it's nostalgia.
No, I do not like that one. So, well done. You stumped me. I did know a lot about the song. I blanked out.
You at least identified the correct song. You knew what you were talking about. Yeah. We'll throw you a few bones here.
I was caught up in the fact that it was a sequel to another song, and I started thinking about that. And anyway, good job.
Well, Jim, as the season moves on, should you find yourself depressed about how you didn't get this one right, don't let it ruin your Christmas. It's times like this that we need to stop and remember what Christmas is really all about.
So, I'll play it.
Yeah.
You got Linus for me coming up?
Oh. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
You know what I'm going to do this year? We've got all of our grandkids in town and everything, and they're all coming over to the house for Christmas, and I'm going to put that up. They've got it on YouTube, the speech that Linus gives in the Charlie Brown Christmas, and I'm going to put that up there and make all of them watch it, because probably none of them have seen that film.
Did you know that the CBS network was vehemently against that? They wanted Charles Schulz to do a Christmas special because his comic strip was so popular,
and
Schulz fought for it and insisted they did not want to hear the gospel on network TV, but Charlie Schulz fought for it.
Yeah, and good for him. And that was 1965, I think. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was.
So, since we're in music right now, we're going to talk about some of the musicians that we lost in 2025. And at the top of the list for me is the great, great Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. It's hard to measure how much he influenced the world of pop music. You know, not only with the surf sound and everything when the Beach Boys came on the scene. The Beach Boys actually preceded the Beatles. They had been around for a couple of years.
They were the most popular, and then they were suddenly eclipsed by the Beatles.
Well, yeah, and they were, but then they came back and they had the number one hit with I Get Around, and it knocked the Beatles off the top of the chart. So that was some sort of more.
Now, I know others of the Beach Boys have passed away. How many of them are still around?
Well, of the original ones, Al Jardine is still alive, and Mike Love, who was a cousin to the Wilson brothers, but the three Wilson brothers have all died. Al Jardine still tours, and he has a lot of the band that used to back up Brian Wilson, and he's still touring. I love Al Jardine.
Well, one of the reasons I'm asking is that at the White House Christmas tree lighting, the Beach Boys sang.
And that's either going to be...
And I was wondering, I only saw two that looked like they could have been legitimate Beach Boys just by the age.
Well, I think Mike Love uses that name. I am not a Mike Love fan, and I'm sitting here looking at a record I have framed on the wall with his autograph that someone gave me. I'm not a big Mike Love fan. But yeah, the Beach Boys, they use that name, they tour, but Mike Love and Al Jardine are the only two original ones that are still alive. There was a guy, David Marks, who was early on in the group and then quit the group, and I think he may still be alive. But Brian Wilson was the genius. Brian Wilson influenced everybody. He had an impact on the Beatles.
And Dennis Wilson was the only one of them that actually surfed. Isn't that correct?
That's the way the story goes. He was the only one that really surfed, and he looked like a surfer. He didn't have to bleach his hair or anything. So Brian Wilson is gone. I love what Bob Dylan's comment was. I hope he leaves his ear to the Smithsonian. He was a great songwriter. He's deaf in one ear. One of the stories is that because his father used to beat him and hit him on the side of the head. And he was
I heard their father was a real piece of work.
Yeah. Murray was his name. And Brian composed all his songs with one good ear. So they recorded all their stuff in mono because stereo didn't mean anything to him. And he just had an incredible imagination, and he came up with some great music. Brian, rest in peace. God bless Brian Wilson. Next person on the list, again for me, these are personal things, but Sam Moore, who was half of the group Sam and Dave. Remember the song Soul Man? They were a great, great rhythm and blues group, and they did some great stuff. And Sam Moore continued to tour and record with current artists and stuff. He was a great one. Steve Cropper, who, by the way, played lead guitar on Sam and Dave's hits, as well as many other. He was the lead guitarist for Booker T and the MGs. Remember the song Green Onions? And Steve Cropper was a great guitar player. He passed away. He did studio work for all the Stax recordings. Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul, and Mary. Now, Peter was Jewish.
So that's two of Peter, Paul. Only Paul Stuckey would still be alive of Peter, Paul, and Mary then, right? Because I know Mary Travers died a few years ago.
Yeah, and Paul is a Christian. And I saw they did a thing one time for Campus Life, and Paul talked Peter into appearing with him. And Paul's giving his testimony, and then they get to Peter, he says, well, I'm Jewish myself. And I saw them in San Diego at Golden Hall, and they came out, and Peter comes out, and he says, my name is Peter, but I'm not an apostle. Paul comes out, he says, my name is Paul, I'm not an apostle. And Mary came out and said, I'm Mary, and I'm not a virgin.
Well, it is true. They sounded very biblical, Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Yeah, and they did a lot of gospel songs.
And I have to give them credit for Peter, Paul candy bars. Who doesn't love those?
Well, of course. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't.
Bringing Peanuts back in, one of my favorite Charlie Brown comic strips is his little sister Sally is saying that she wants to study the Bible more and hear more about it in school. And she says, I want to hear all about St. Peter and St. Paul and Minneapolis. And then Charlie Brown's going, Minneapolis?
That's funny.
All right, Jim, hold with me for one more segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Bob Siegel not only writes fiction, but nonfiction as well. Over the years, Bob has received wonderful comments about his book on Christian apologetics entitled, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... Many have put this book in the hands of their seeking, unbelieving friends, and the book takes it from there. This is because the book has a rhetorical skeptic that argues with Bob about the harder, less frequently discussed questions. As a result, the reader is immediately aware that they are reading from an author who relates to them. The moment they find themselves questioning something they see, their very question appears in the text. Every question in this book was one that was personally put to Bob during his many years of speaking on college campuses. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. If you've been thinking about getting your pilot's license and a degree in aviation, come fly with us. We have a long history of producing aviation leaders. Whether your focus is on commercial, missionary, or military, we're ready to help you achieve your goals from a Christian worldview. So look us up at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Come fly with us.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show and one more segment with Jim Barrier.
Okay, so we'll try to wrap this up. As is our tradition, mine at least, I like to make some predictions about the upcoming year. So for 2026, drum roll. You got a drum roll, Brandon?
I have some predictions. Jasmine Crockett's going to say something stupid. AOC is going to say something stupid. Maxine Waters is going to say something stupid. Those you can take to the bank. You can take those to the bank.
How did you come up with that stuff, Bob?
That's just, I would put good odds on Vegas.
Yeah, I would. I will start with... So, as you alluded earlier, last year I actually made a prediction correctly. I predicted that Dodgers would repeat as World Series champs.
And you weren't happy. You weren't rooting for that to happen. You were just saying that's what you thought was going to happen.
That was the irony. It was bittersweet. I got one right, and I hated it.
No, Jim, don't do it. Don't do it. I know what you're going to say. Don't do it.
No, you don't know what I'm going to say.
Okay, good.
We're going to start with the college football championship. So these are in order of when these events will occur. The college football championship, I'm going with the front runner, though they've never won a football championship. They're a great basketball school. The Indiana Hoosiers, I think, will miraculously beat Ohio State again.
Oh, that's just to pay homage to Gene Hackman in the movie Hoosiers.
Well, actually, to our friend Gary Young, who is the biggest Hoosier fan you've ever met. He thinks that that movie with Gene Hackman is the greatest movie ever made.
Well, it was a good movie. Greatest ever made, I don't know about, but it was a good movie.
Great movie, and so I'm picking Indiana to win the football championship. For the Super Bowl, I've been saying this for several weeks, but today kind of confirmed it for me. The Los Angeles Rams, I believe, will win the Super Bowl, and I want to encourage anybody who might watch the Super Bowl to change the channel during halftime and watch the Turning Point USA halftime show. I don't even know who's going to be on it. They haven't announced anybody yet, but it's bound to be better.
Oh, you mean the Turning Point's going to show the game, too, and then do an alternate halftime show?
No, they're going to be on another channel, but because the halftime show is so controversial, they got some cross.
Oh, so they're making just a halftime show itself. Is this, Brendan, what you thought Jim was going to say? Is this what you were warning him not to say?
No, the baseball one. I'm hoping he chooses.
Oh, no, we're not there yet.
I know.
So watch the Turning Point halftime show, and then go back and watch the second half of the game. In NCAA Men's Basketball Division I, I am going with, and this is not a really risky pick, but I'm going to go with the Duke Blue Devils. I think that they will win that whole event when it's all over. In the NBA, which I don't really care much about, but everybody's picking Oklahoma City Thunder. They're just head and shoulders above all the rest of the teams. But the other night, they got beat by my San Antonio Spurs. And the Spurs will be there in a year or two. They've got some great talent. But Oklahoma City, I think, will win the NBA. Now, for the baseball World Series, Brandon, I am not picking a three-peat. I am picking the team that lost the World Series this year, the Toronto Blue Jays. I think they will come back. They will come back with a vengeance. And I don't care who they beat, whether it's the Dodgers or whoever. I'm not expecting the San Diego Padres, who I love dearly. I don't think they're going to get to the World Series. They're going to be in a rebuilding stage. They're losing talent. They're losing their manager. They're doing all kinds of stuff. And so things don't look too great for the Padres right now. But I'm going to pick the Blue Jays to win the World Series. Now, turning to the world of other entertainment, the Oscars. I don't give a rat's toenail what movie wins.
There are some decent movies that they've made lately, but unless a movie is woke, unless there's something woke in the movie, they won't even consider it. To me, that's not a legitimate contest, and it should just be renounced.
So I haven't even seen any of the movies that are the front runners, but I do predict this, that the Oscars will feature many, many anti-Trump speeches.
Oh, yeah.
People will get up there to either present or accept an award, and somehow they'll start talking about how much they hate Trump.
I'm honored to receive this award in what may possibly be our last year of freedom before our democracy is taken over by Donald Trump. Yeah, I can just hear it now.
Yeah, it's funny to even throw the word democracy around. First of all, because the United States is actually a constitutional republic.
Yeah, and second of all, because the Democrats with their communism don't really believe in democracy or a republic.
No, they don't. No, not at all. I mean, when you put a candidate up there that didn't garner one vote and suddenly she's representing your party for the presidency, that's not democracy.
And we have a communist running New York City who says he'll arrest Benjamin Netanyahu if he ever sets foot in New York.
Well, and once again,
these are the ones claiming Trump is a dictator.
Yeah. And then, you know, you got your governor out there. He's doing a bang-up job.
He is so slick, and people are already saying, well, you know, at least he looks presidential. He sounds presidential. As long as we have stupid people, politicians like Newsom can win elections.
Well, apparently there's an abundance of stupidity going around, and Einstein talked about that. And our friend Winky Pratty, Winky always says that the two most common things in the universe are hydrogen and stupidity.
I wish Winky was running for our governor.
Well, he's a New Zealander.
I know.
So he can't. Okay, so those are some predictions. I'm going to predict that Donald Trump will not let up, even through his fourth year of this term. He will just continue. He'll be battered and beaten on every side by Democrats and Republicans alike and the media, and he will just keep his course.
How do you like how the media is trying to portray him as another Biden? They're talking about how he's slowing down. It's just the
Really?
Yeah. The guy only sleeps like 3 hours a night. The people in his cabinet are talking about how he wakes them up in the middle of the night to talk. He goes overseas. He makes peace. He visits like five different countries and then gets back in time for Charlie Kirk's memorial. Oh, but he's going the way of Joe Biden from the people who were denying that Joe Biden was going the way of Joe Biden.
Ironic, isn't that? Listen, I watched the Army-Navy game yesterday, great football tradition, and Donald Trump was there, and he went out there at halftime. He walked in line and shook all of these cadets' hands.
And they love him. They love him.
And they saluted him. Yeah, it's one football game he could have gone to where he did not get booed, but he got cheered. He is the commander-in-chief.
Now, Jim.
And,
Now, Jim, we do have to practice with him how to flip a coin, because that looked more like a toss in the air than a flip of a coin.
I heard the coin toss didn't go too well.
But the truth is, it's hard for Donald to let go of a dollar.
So. Maybe he was trying to illustrate with an unfair coin toss the 2020 election.
There you go.
All right, look, on that note, Brendan and Jim, both of you have a wonderful Christmas. Again, the Bob Siegel Show will be on Christmas special repeats the next 2 weeks. I will see you all in January. Have a wonderful time.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.